Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me, please, to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 23. We contemplate at this time of year the Easter story. I listened to Charles Morris from the Haven of Rest program on the radio as I was driving along the other night. He says, you know, every year at this time, I read through all the resurrection, the crucifixion and resurrection stories. And so I said, well, Harold, if he does that every year, you better get doing that. So I started reading the resurrection stories again, the crucifixion and resurrection stories, and was impressed by the thought that the women play a very important role at this time. So if there's a title to our ministry this morning, it is Easter Women. And I just want you to follow along with some of my thoughts on that subject. Easter Women, Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23 and verse 27. It says, and there followed him. This is on the way to the cross. Immediately after the verse that says that Simon of Cyrene was compelled to bear his cross, verse 27 says, and there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children, for behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bare and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? It was a strange, a terrible day. And from Jerusalem to Golgotha, he went. He didn't go alone. There were a great number who followed him, mainly women. One asks the question, what happened to the men? And the answer is they all forsook him and fled. But the women were there, and they followed probably relatively close to him. As he was going, he stopped somehow. Did he stop the guards? Did he tell them, I've got to speak to these women? He turned to the women. He said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me. Why would he say that? Because they were weeping. We tend to look at the story of Easter. We've heard it before. We've thought of it many times. Do we still weep? They were weeping, and rightly so. And these women are mentioned in this story in a delightfully honorable role. They had the wisdom to weep. He stopped and he said, you might want to weep for yourselves too, you know, because there are terrible days coming. And those of us who weep regarding the death of our Savior have our eyes opened. And we realize that the days that lie ahead are going to be bad days. We read the newspapers, we hear what's going on in the world around, and there are terrible things that are happening. Very often happening to Christians in the world today. and happening to Christians because they are Christians. And our blessed Savior, as they were weeping for him, said, it's going to be worse for you. And so we learn to weep. And as we weep, by the grace of God, our eyes are open. You can see a lot when your eyes are doing the right things. And you can see clearly, very often, far more clearly when you're weeping than you can when you're not. So these amazing women were weeping for him. The book of Mark, chapter 15. Back, we'll pick up the story, the sequence of the story in Mark, chapter 15. Mark, chapter 15, and verse 37 says, "And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost." Verse 40, "And there were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joses, and of Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem." They wept on the way to the cross, and when they got to the cross, they kept on watching. In the first instance, it was women weeping. Now it's the women watching. That was important to the Lord. He said to Peter, James, and John, "Tarry ye here and watch. I will go and pray." But they didn't. But the women did. They were watching. They were watching through those 3 hours of darkness. They didn't see anything. But they didn't go home. And when he gave up the ghost, when did the lights come on? At about that time, they were still there. They were watching. There are things that are done in life that They're not on the action plan. I ask myself, what would the men have done? Men tend to be men of action. Let's get going. Let's get doing. What would they have done? They all forsook him and fled. If they hadn't forsaken him and fled, what would they have done? They probably would have behaved like the women, wouldn't they? They would have been weeping and watching. There was nothing else they could do. But the women had enough sense to do what should have been done. What did we do this morning? Many say it's a waste of time, you know. You go to that meeting and you sit there and get up and go. What's accomplished? You didn't make anything, didn't earn any money, didn't play any games. What did we do? We watched. Is that important to Jesus? Yes. So, back to the book of Luke, chapter 23. Luke 23. Verse 55, actually, verse 53, Joseph of Arimathea took down the body and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. The day was the preparation of the Sabbath, drew on, and the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and beheld the sepulcher, and how his body was laid. They returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested on the Sabbath day, according to the commandment. The women wept, and then the women watched, and then the women followed. I think these women were used to following the Lord. We've read that they came from Galilee, and that they came from Jerusalem. You read about them in the book of Luke. It's Luke who seems to pick up this theme of the women. You read about it in Luke chapter 8 and verse 3. That there were many women who followed him from Galilee and ministered to him of their substance. There was Joanna and Susanna and how many others? They were followers of the Lord Jesus. Jesus went ahead, the disciples went with him. And they followed him. What did they do? They ministered to him. Some of them, like Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's stewards, had substantial substance. And they ministered to him of their substance. Somebody had to look after those men. They did. You can imagine, after long days of preaching and healing the sick and ministering to the multitudes, they would go back to wherever they were. Maybe it was just a little valley. And the women would have a meal for them. They would rejoice together. Amazingly, the Lord doesn't forget these women. He places them on his own particular pedestal and reminds again and again and again the people who they were, what they did, and honors them. It is interesting, isn't it, that there's a difference between the role of men and women in life. And women are often those, they're those, I think of them at the foundation. They're those as sort of the ultimate backstop. I can imagine the little child with a problem when he goes to daddy and he says, "Daddy, I got this problem." And daddy says, "Duh, I don't know what to do. Why don't you go see your mom?" And and Johnny goes off to his mom and says, "Mom, I got a problem." And she says, "Oh yeah, I got just a solution for that problem here in my purse." And I giggle about that when I contemplate it. I giggle about it for a number of reasons, not the least of which it's true. It was at the time of the crucifixion and the resurrection when these women shone in all their greatness. It is true, isn't it, that if at the foundation of the great revivals of Scripture, there are women. It was Hannah and Ruth that got the great revival going between the stories of the Judges and the Kings. It was Jehoshabeath who intercepted Athaliah to rescue Joash, and the monarchy was preserved. It was Mary and Elizabeth at the foundation of the great and glorious gospel story. And you go through the book of Acts and the women shine. They are there at that time of deep need. And the men have got to learn a lot from that. They followed. They followed to the graveside. They said, "We followed him in life, and we will follow him in death." And then you remember the rest of the story, chapter 24. "Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre." Who were the "they"? The women. "Bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them." How many women were there? Probably quite a few. "And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. It came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, two men stood by them in shining garments, as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth. They said unto them, 'Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words, and they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest." It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with him, which told these things unto the apostles. Wonderful women. They wept. They watched. They followed, and they honored him. He's dead. It's only a body. And they said, "It's true. But we honored him in life, and we will honor him in his death." They were not idle in those 3 days. They were preparing. Always amazes me how women are in the preparation business. And they prepared. Our blessed Lord Jesus has risen from the dead. There was a difference between men and women then. There is a difference between men and women now. And men in the assembly of God have the responsibility of doing the things that the Lord would do if he were here. He's not here. And therefore, somebody has got to take the lead, and so the men have got to do that. Women in the assembly have the position of being the position of the church. And they have to do what the church would do if the Lord were here. And so they have this this other position, most important exemplary position. The women are to be everything that the whole church ought to be in the presence of the Lord if he were here. He's coming back. What do the women do? They prepare. What do we do? Well, we're to be like the women, aren't we? And we should be weeping, and we should be watching, and we should be following, and we should be preparing, because it's not very long when we're going to be just as surprised as they were
Because you see, our Lord is coming back. And he's going to meet us as he met them. And we're going to rejoice. Easter women, marvelous examples of the response to this great Easter story that should be followed by us all. Lord, we want to thank you for showing us these lovely women. It's true, Lord. We would have been honored to have known them. We didn't. We know women like them, but we didn't know them. Lord, we pray that as we marvel afresh at this most wonderful story, that we might be like those women. We praise thee for Easter and for all that it means. Lord, our prayer is that we might not just sit back and wonder, but Lord, may we enter into it all, and may we prepare for that glorious day that will soon come when we will see our Savior as they did, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.